the outstanding Reginald Walker. My old friend, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Good to talk to you. I'm just going to say the athletic director at Texas Tech, who fired a coach who's 5-3, whose previous coach had a losing record, and they haven't had they've only had one double-digit winning season since 1976. Just going to go there.
I was completely baffled by that. It's like they're 5-3 mid-season. I was taken aback. I don't. Now I'm not going to pretend I know what's going on in the athletic department at Texas Tech, but geez, that one took me aback.
The funny part is, and I can't believe this is how we go full circle in sports, right? I guess they want to turn back to the Mike Leach era.
Yeah, I guess. To be honest with you, I don't know what they want, because when Texas and Oklahoma leave, they're going to be part of the Power 4.5.
Correct. If your program was that good, folks in Lubbock, you would be going with Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC.
Yeah. I have to ask you, since you're down there,
oh yeah,
what was the reaction of Charlotte and the American?
Everybody's fired up.
Yeah.
The city, you know,
for Charlotte, it's a great move.
Yes. They got, I hate to say it, they got their doors blown off by FAU last Thursday night.
Right.
And I had just gotten back from actually New York for work, and I was down on the sideline the entire game, had a chance to talk to some alums. Cam Clark, who is with the Jets, happened to be back in town.
Yep.
Ben DeLuca with the Chargers, he was back in town as well. Saw some of those guys down on the sideline and some other alums, and everybody is very excited about the move. They thought it was a good move for the program, and here's the thing: for a program that's barely a decade old, to make this kind of a move to essentially be, I think, once it all settles, the Big 12 will probably be the quote premier league outside of the Power Four, but to get to the point to where they're in the second best league outside of the Power Five,
yeah,
in less than 10 years is good. And then you add in the fact that Charlotte's a top 25 TV market, that helps the program as well.
Right. See, I think what the American did was, look, and I say this with all due respect to Charlotte, the American, of course, loses Cincinnati, they lose Houston, they're going to lose Central Florida, and then BYU is coming in as the other to be in the Big 12. So the American lost a lot, including markets and some names in there, but they added markets like Charlotte, top 25 market. They added markets, but I'm not so sure they added cachet. In other words, they didn't move. They added markets, but they didn't move the needle with who they added.
No, you're right. And to clarify that even more. Just look at the teams they added, right? You talk about Charlotte market 25-ish. North Texas brings the Denton, which is part of the Dallas market.
But right.
That's,
yep,
with all due respect to North Texas, they're about the 15th sports team that you look at in North Texas, right? UTSA and San Antonio, well, the Spurs are still there. So you're right. They did get some markets, but they didn't get the marquee teams in the market.
Yeah.
But I think they helped themselves nonetheless to that point.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's talk Penn State for a moment, and let's talk about something that you know a lot about, and of course that would be the running game. A lot of people, of course, will look at the offensive line and the tight ends, and they should, take a look at it. They're the ones that have to open the holes. But let's take it now from a different perspective. What's the running back's responsibility in a running game that also has to be taken into account here?
Well, let me start by saying this, because there's a lot of pieces to that, and I think I love where you're going, but and this is something I've said to the coaching staff. When you're in a zone read-based running attack, the first issue is there's no creativity in it. And what I mean by that, it's either give or pull for the quarterback. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the running back is to the quarterback's right, because remember, 99.5% of the time, the quarterback at Penn State is in the shotgun.
Yeah.
So if the running back is to the right, you're either reading somebody as the running back goes left across your face, or it's a straight quarterback keep, or it's a quarterback power, right? You flip the back, it's the same thing. It's just going the other way. So I think a lot of times when we talk about the back's responsibility, the first thing is, no matter what the running play is, it needs to look the same and start the same.
Yeah.
Well, with Penn State, it looks and starts the same, but it's generally the same. It only changes based on which side of the quarterback that running back is on. And so I'd like to see maybe some more two-back stuff where you can do some counter things out of that, or maybe just some different straight off-tackle type plays, outside zone, that kind of stuff, to loosen that up. But I think right now it's tough to put it on really anybody.
Right.
And listen, I love Yursich. I'm not suggesting that they don't know what they're doing. But when the creativity is small and I only have to think about three or four running plays, it's a lot easier defensively to handle that. And it puts more on the offensive line because they don't have the luxury of unpredictability behind them.
Yeah. I mean, it's because, again, I think, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, sometimes you can focus on one area, like, you know, they'll talk about the offensive line. Okay. Or, okay, you know, what is the job the tight end is doing? But there's everybody has a responsibility in it, including the running back. And then when you have big plays, that's where the wide receivers come in and their ability to block.
Yeah, I think the one thing, and I've talked to so many coaches about this, is the funniest thing about football is this, right? It's considered the ultimate team sport.
No doubt.
But if you want to throw the football, only two guys have to do their job. Mm-hmm. The guy that's throwing it and the guy that's catching it. That's it. And it can be a big play. Because if I get it to you and you make one guy miss, it can be 75 yards to the house. Whereas with a running back, if I hand it to you, first of all, the snap has to be good. The exchange has to be good with the back. Everybody has to block, including the receivers. And then the running back has to see the right hole to cut through.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pieces.
When you were here, was there a game where you felt like when it was over with, you know, you're supposed to win, but you got away with it and still won it?
Oh, wow. I can tell you one that we're supposed to win, should have won, was Iowa in 02.
Yeah.
But that's the beginning of instant replay in the Big Ten, so we won't even go there.
Right.
I think I want to say it was 02 as well. I want to say it was at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I think that was 02. Yeah. That's one where, and I want to say, I think that's the game where Michael took a tough blow to the head.
Zach got hit first, then Michael did, then Chris Ganner had to come in, right? Is that the game?
That's right. Yep. And we were still in that game a lot of the way. And I thought that if we could just get one thing to kind of go right, we would have been able to come back and win that game. And that's one of the ones that I think of. And then, man, you could go back. If I went all the way back.
I've already referenced, for example, let's take 86. Penn State, mm-hmm. Everyone remembers winning at Alabama. They remember it winning at Notre Dame. They remember the Miami National Championship game. But Penn State's not 12-0 unless they get out of the Cincinnati game, which they're losing the entire game, and got a safety and a touchdown late, 123-17. They got away with it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, when Penn State in 94 went to Illinois, they were down 21-0. They got away with it, right? And most times you can get away with it.
Oh, why in Illinois? We should have won that game.
Well, that was the one, yeah. Larry took a kickoff back for a touchdown in that game.
Yep.
Yep. But, I mean, every once in a while in the season, and I pointed out with Ohio State in 2014 when they won the national championship, you know, the one they got away with was here. Penn State only had 63 scholarship guys on the team, yep. 48 available, and the game went double overtime. That's the one when they won the title, they got away with. And so, you know, and it seems like every season there is a game like that somewhere for somebody. And they didn't get away with it on Saturday. I mean, that's the Illinois credit, but they didn't get away with it.
No. Can I make one point about the Illinois? Why are we walking in the end after everything?
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I know. That's I kept talking. When they'd be done, I said, all right, Jack, now we're going to walk.
Yeah.
So I said, you're going to walk to the other end. That
was the perfect day. If you wanted to, that's the perfect day to get your steps in.
Oh, my goodness. What do you think of the format, by the way, of that? I mean, because obviously there's overtime. Now, when you play, there was, you know, there was overtime when you played because they just started putting it in. Penn State lost that game to Iowa where, unfortunately, Tony dropped the fourth down play.
Well, they said he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, sure he did. There's a lot of things that have been crazy over the years. But what do you think of this where, starting in the third overtime, you do this?
Yeah, to me, I think you either do that right away or you – well, first of all, I'm a proponent of old-school football.
Yeah.
So to me, you just play another quarter.
Yeah.
I like the NFL rule that says if you get it first and you score a touchdown, it's over. That's where you create the aggressiveness to try to win the football game. And I think – look, I know most people will tell you it's the most dangerous play in football, right, which is the kickoff. It's also a kickoff return for a touchdown is the most exciting play you can get in football.
Yeah.
It just is. And so I think if you leave that component in there as a possibility, it helps. So to me, I would do it. I don't like placing the ball either.
Yeah, because what's interesting about that is you when you look at it's a lot like penalty kicks in soccer. I mean, how many times have you seen a World Cup game decided where it was penalty kicks at the end? So you played the 90 minutes, you played the extra time and whatever they put in, and it comes down to penalty kicks. I kind of felt like I was watching a soccer match where they're using penalty kicks at the end.
Yeah, that hockey, right?
Yeah, let's do a shootout.
Yeah, let's do a shoot. I think it becomes so difficult. And the other thing is with two-point plays, right, and this is what's interesting. This is what coaches have had to do. Most coaches have like two or three two-point plays, right?
Yeah.
At least that was the case 4 or 5 years ago. Now they have to have like 12.
Yep.
And so you have to go to your third and short stuff, your goal line stuff. You have to use all of that stuff now to try to win in these overtime periods. So that's another, I think, very interesting component of it.
One final point, and then I'll let you go because I appreciate everything you're doing, as always, Reginald. Okay? It's one thing to make observations from 30,000 feet. It's another one to act. It's another one to actually be there every day in a film session, in a team meeting, on a practice field, you know, all the way through. Do players have the ability, since you've gone through it and lived it, to say, okay, and not get too caught up in last week and get ready and boom, and get ready for the next one right out of the gate?
It can be difficult. It weighs more on certain guys. But, yes, there is an ability to flush it. And a lot of it is when you watch the film. What really burns guys is when they make mistakes based on things they already know.
Yeah.
If it's something that was new to them, they can move past it pretty easily. But if it's a coverage that you've seen 1,000 times and that robber, for instance, I was doing a game last week and a safety, strong safety looked like he was rolled up and was going to play the flat and just kind of played a robber and just sat underneath that curl route and picked that ball off. And I talked to that quarterback after the game and he's like, I've seen that coverage 1,000 times. I will never forget that play. That type of stuff sticks.
Yeah.
If it's something they've never seen, they go back, they watch it in the film room, and they go, ah, okay, they got me, and they can move on. And so when you have – if you have a bunch of things that you've seen before, and those are the mistakes, which I would pretty much lean on the fact that that was the case for Penn State a lot against Illinois this past weekend, it's going to be difficult for them. It's going to be stuff that sticks with them. The thing that helps – is it's Ohio State week, and it's a big game, and there are plenty of players from the state of Ohio on this roster, and it means more than just another game in the Big Ten.
Well, it means more to us than anything when we get you on the show. So thank you so much, my friend, as always.
Anytime, and you know, that town and you guys mean so much to me. It is the place where I will tell anybody my life truly started. I became an adult. I learned a lot, and I got Coach Paterno, who once told me in only the way he could, Walker, I don't have to let you play football, but you will graduate. And I will never forget that term, and it was honestly, Steve, the best moment for me in my adult life.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of players, I just heard Jim Nelson say the same thing today, as a matter of fact. Heard Jimmy Nelson say the same thing today, who played here in the 90s. My friend, thank you.
Be well. We are.